حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل ونعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. The wish of every believer, anyone who believes in Allah, is to be on Siratul Mustaqim, on the straight path, on the path of Allah. And Allah defined the path by saying two things in its definition. First was the rejection of shaitan, second was the acceptance of Allah. So the rejection of shaitan comes first, then comes accepting Allah. And that's why the statement of Islam, the statement of Tawheed, is La ilaha illallah. First you need to reject false beliefs, then accept the right belief. That is the equation. And hence, in order for us to be on the straight path, to walk on the straight path, to make sure that we are on the straight path, we need to first reject shaitan. And to do that, we must know him. If you don't know shaitan, if you don't know how he works, if you don't know how he misguides, then the chances of you being misguided are much greater. The odds that you have been misguided by shaitan are much greater. And this is why we are trying to learn and understand who is shaitan and how he misguides. And we went through the different things regarding shaitan, his qualities, and also the weapons that he uses. Today I'll mention one more weapon that he uses. And many people don't know this. Many people don't know this. And because they don't know this, this is the easiest way for him to misguide people. Send a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajal.
When we look at the history of Islam, not just Islam, the prophets and the Anbiya, what we see in the history, my friends, is that it was a gradual growth in the ideology of Islam. When we read the ayat in the Quran that says, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, which every Shia is aware of because it is recited in Ghadir, Eid al-Ghadir, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Today the deen has been completed. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and my blessings on you have been fulfilled. So just the idea of completion says that there was a build-up. There was a growth of something that reached its maturity, that reached its final moment in Ghadir. So when we look at the history of the prophets from Adam downwards, you see that the ideology that we have, the beliefs that we have slowly been given to people, not just given, but established in their minds and hearts. And this is where you see that since the growth of Islam was gradual, since the ideology of Islam grew gradually, so what happened is that each item, in our belief system was slowly given to us, not all at once, but one step at a time. And this is where it gets interesting. You see, when Adam came and his children came, the first society that was formed and the first prophet who was sent to a society was Nuh. When you look in the time of Nuh, he wasn't preaching about prayers. He wasn't preaching about fasting. He wasn't preaching about authority. He wasn't preaching about prophethood. He wasn't even preaching about the qualities of Allah or the attributes of Allah. When you look at his life and his message, the only thing Nuh was trying to prove to people is that there is a God, that he exists. You see, he's trying to give this message that, listen, God exists. He's there. So when we look at that message, we understand that the belief in God was not established in the minds of people. In fact, they didn't believe in it. And he was giving, you see that he's trying to tell them that God exists. Really, he does. And this was his message. Now the prophets who came after him, they're slowly and slowly trying to establish that in the minds of people. And what they did is that over time, they established those principles and logic in the minds of people by which they accepted it as a normal belief. In the time of Nuh, when you look at it, you see that it wasn't a normal belief in the hearts and minds of people. But when it came to the time of Ibrahim, you see that the reason he's called the father of Tawheed, or all religion that believe in one God, is because of the fact that it is really at his time that the concept of God was established in the minds of people. It was in his time that it was established. That's why when you look at Ibrahim and the arguments he gave and the proofs he gave, you see, all of the prophets were working on it. And it was in his time that the idea that there is a God was established. That there is a God was established. Now, my friends, as it was established, then when you move forward, you see in the time of Musa, it wasn't about the existence of God that's the issue, because by that time everyone believed in God. It moved on. But here, as these concepts were established, now you see how Shaitan worked to misguide people. So what did Shaitan do? You see, at first, in the time of Nuh, he was telling the people that, listen, there is no God. What Nuh is saying is rubbish. There is no God. And the people were listening to that. Why? Because the concept of God wasn't established in them. But when it came to the time of Ibrahim, the idea that there is a God was established. The idea that there is a God was established. So now when that idea was established, then Shaitan came. Now he could not tell the people there is no God, because the prophets did such a good job of establishing it in the minds and hearts of people that no one could deny it. They said, of course there's a God, you know. Of course there's a God. So then Shaitan came and said, all right, there's a God, right? Listen, okay, there's a God. So you accept God? Yes. People did accept God in their mind. So now what Shaitan did is that he said, all right, you know, the moon is your God. And they looked up to the moon and said, wow, the moon is our God? Yes. He said, the sun is your God. The sun is your God. You see, now that idea, because the prophets established God's concept in the mind, now Shaitan came to pervert that idea, to change that idea, to use that idea and mess up the minds of the people. You see how Shaitan is working. I'll explain the principle soon. what he does and how he misguides. But just listen to the examples as I explain to you. This is the idea of how God, that on one hand Allah is trying to establish the concepts of Islam, the beliefs of Islam in the minds of people, what we call Usuluddin. On one hand, the prophets are doing that. On the other hand, whenever something is established, you see Shaitan come and then go to the next argument. He doesn't stick back. For a person who believes in God to tell him, no, he doesn't, it's an argument that doesn't work. It doesn't work. So what he does is that, okay, you believe in God? Okay, who's your God? You see, then he changes that and gives it another picture. So my friends, this is what Shaitan is doing. When deen and religion and usul-ad-deen or concepts of religion are not established, he will say it doesn't exist there. But when it is established, then he uses that against the people. In other words, sometimes Shaitan misguides you by saying there is no religion. Sometimes he uses the religion you have to misguide you. This is the concept of Shaitan. And that's where we need to understand how he works. You establish God in the minds of people, now he'll come, okay, where's your God? You see, now in Ibrahim's time, he had to establish that. Now people believed in God. That's why he's doing it. He has to do it because people believe in God. Now we come to the time of Prophet Musa. When you come to the time of Prophet Musa, the idea that God exists was established in the minds of people. The issue was, where is he? Who is he? That was the issue. It was about qualities of God. The issue was that, and that's why when you look in the time of Musa, you see how Allah explains what's going on in that environment and the thoughts and the arguments and the debates going on in the time of Musa. He explains that. When we read the Quran, we don't read it for sawab. You could. But the idea is read it for guidance. What is saying? What is he trying to say in there? When you look at it, I'll explain to you. In the time of Musa, everyone believed in God, but they, now Shaitan came to them and says, well, how can you believe in a God that you can't see? How can you believe in a God you can't see? And they all said, yeah, you're right. So when Musa came to them, he says, ayat says in the Quran, لَن نُؤْمِنَ حَتَّى نَرَ اللَّهُ جَهْرَةً, that Musa, we will not believe in God until we see him with our own eyes. Until we see him with our own eyes, show him to us. Where is God? I want to see him. And a group of people came to him and they debated. I want to see God. Where is God? Now Musa was trying to tell them, listen, you can't see God. You can't see God. They're saying, I mean, you can't see God. Of course, you know, if there's a God, we can see him. We see all things. You see, this is the same argument. This is an old argument. It was in the time of Musa. It's the same argument that you see atheists use against people nowadays. And the basis of the argument are subtle that I want to explain to you. So you know the fallacy of their arguments and the fallacy of their debate, what they're trying to say. Why is it false? It is in the time of Musa that Allah established, but of course, when Allah is answering to those people then, they did not have the knowledge or the awareness, so he was explaining the theory and the idea and the concept at their level. But now when we deal with them, obviously they are more refined in the same idea, in the same concept. And I'll explain that if you send the salawats. What happens is this, my friends. When you look at knowledge, the importance of aql and intellect that Allah emphasizes for knowing Allah, for knowing God, is important. Why? Because you cannot know Allah through observation. You cannot know Allah through observation. You see, there's knowledge that you gain through your intellect, and there's knowledge that you gain through observation. Observation are those things that you learn through your senses, your sight, your hearing. These are senses that you learn from, or touch, or feeling, these things. These are observational sciences. Things that are known through observational sciences are different than things that are known through intellectual sciences. If I want to use my intellect to know your height, I can assume, I can guess from now till the day of judgment, I will not get it right. Unless I actually come to you and measure you. Because this issue of your height is an observational information. It comes through observation, it comes through senses, it comes through actual measurement. That's how it knows it. Now if you, for example, if I ask you, guess my weight, right? Everyone says, oh, you know, 200 pounds, 180 pounds, and I'll be flattered, you know? But whatever number you say is going to be a guess. Whatever number you say is going to be a guess. It will not be the truth. It won't have certainty. You can never have certainty. You will say, well, I think it's about this much. You can't say you are, you know, 210 and, you know, 0.5 pounds. You can't say that with certainty. You will assume, you will guess. The issue that happens with us is that we learn things like sciences, biology, physics, and all these sciences. These are observational sciences. And they can only study those things that are known through observation. Not the aql, not the intellect. For example, now when you look at the other side, what is knowledge? What is knowledge? Right? Everyone speaks of knowledge, right? Everyone has written books about knowledge. Well, what is knowledge? Can you show me knowledge? And you show me a book. No, that's a book. That's not knowledge. What is knowledge? You all know that we have knowledge. Everyone knows it. No one denies it. So what is knowledge? How much does it weigh? What is the size? Can you weigh it? Can you measure it? Can you do anything with it? Show me where knowledge is. You see, knowledge is an issue that cannot be seen through observation. That cannot be known through observation. In order to know it, you have to use your intellect. It is only known through the intellect that there is knowledge. This is the reason that issues like knowledge cannot be known through science. So if we just use science or observational sciences, then we must deny knowledge also. There is no such thing as knowledge because we can't see it, we can't measure it, we don't know it. But the statement itself would be an oxymoron. Because when you say, I don't know, no is coming in the sentence. What do you mean, no? There's no such thing as no then. You see, what happens is that issues that are not matter, that are beyond matter, cannot be understood through observational science, cannot be known through it. It's a fallacy to say that, oh, we can know these things, everything through not, through sciences. This is the reason, my friends, it's important to understand that the concept, the idea of Allah cannot be known through observational sciences. It can only be known through the intellect. It can only be known through the aql. And that's why whenever an atheist comes and says, well, you know, we need to prove Allah to me. And by what means? If you want us to prove Allah through the intellect, then that is easy. But if you want us to prove Allah through observational sciences, there's no way we can do that. And this is the same thing that the people of Musa are telling to Musa. We want to see Allah. We want to observe Him. We want to know Him through our senses. You cannot know Allah through your senses because He is not matter. Because He is not matter. Either you deny all non-material things, but if you just select Allah to deny or God to deny, but you don't want to deny every other thing that is non-matter, then that is just selective reasoning, selective acceptance. And this is what they do. So this is the same people. Now what they did is that they came to Musa and said, we will not accept Allah until we see him. So Musa said, all right, let's go. Allah asked us to come to see him. Now, obviously, Allah is dealing with these people who are a little bit, shallow up there. So they go to the mountain with Musa, and Allah manifests his glory. Something comes down, breaks the mountain up, and Musa faints. What happened to the other people is not even written. It's so bad. They all fall down, finished. Now what happened is that when that happened, this is an idea that Allah is trying to give, that you cannot see Allah. Sight of Allah is impossible because he's not matter. But then, this is the issue what I want to discuss about. Where does shaitan come in? He gives these ideas to us. Now, when these ideas come after the ideology is established, in the time of Musa, people believed in God. Then what happened? Let me explain that to send a salawat. So the ideology of God is established. Now, Musa is called by Allah, and Allah says, Musa, I want you to come for 30 days as a guest. So Musa tells his people, listen, Allah called me as a guest. I'm going for 30 days. I'll be back after 30 days. And left Harun in charge. He says, all right. So he bade farewell, everyone said bye, and he went. Well, 30 days went by. After 30 days, what happened? Allah says, Musa, stay here for 10 more days. Stay here for 10 more days. Now, Musa stayed for 10 more days, but back at the camp, when the 31st day came, so now, Samiri looked at the people and said, hey, Musa's not here. 31 days went by, and he's the messenger of God. He can't lie to us, so something happened to him. So then what happened? Well, if we don't get to go to God, we'll bring God to us. So what they did, they built a replica of a cow. They built a replica of a cow. And this is what I want you to understand right here. When they built a replica of a cow, how did Samiri make the people believe that this cow is God? On what basis did he say that? For example, if I makes a structure over here and says, hey guys, this is God. Like, what? You wouldn't believe me, right? How did Samiri manage to do that? How did Samiri get these people to believe that this cow that I made of gold is God? And people started worshiping it. They started worshiping it. You see, I want you to see what the ayah says. From there, learn how shaitan misguides. Samiri did not say that, look at this structure, it's so beautiful, it has to be God. No one would have accepted it. You know what he said? He said, Hada ilahu Musa. This is your God. This is the God of Musa. This is the God that Musa talked to us about. This is it.